Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We'll be reading the first verse and then verses 23 through 27. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then over to the 23rd verse. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Dear Lord, as we look to this new year and to this new moment that is before us now, we ask that you would help us to set aside all other considerations other than what the Holy Spirit might want to communicate to our waiting hearts this morning. And may we realize that this is an opportunity to experience the truth of God in our own hearts. May we profit by your truth, we pray, in thy name. Amen. some of them will likely be rather unimportant, but some of them will be all important. Some of your decisions will matter for all eternity. Clovis Chapel, the great preacher, had a sermon on the experience of Moses, whom we read about in our scripture this morning, and it was entitled, "At the Forks of the Road, Moses." And this expression, "the forks of the road," is an old one. We didn't have a lot of forking roads in Chicago. Most of them were pretty clear cut. But out in the country, it was not uncommon, it still isn't uncommon, to be on a road, and all of a sudden you come to a place in the road where the road does not continue on in a straight line, but there's a fork in the road, and you have to make a choice to go to the right or to the left. We're not talking this morning about a clover leaf or even a crossroad, but to that lonely place in the countryside, angling in two directions, where you have to make a decision as to the direction you're going to go. Moses had come to such a time in his life. He knew who he was. He knew that he was the son of Hebrew parents. He rather knew what God wanted him to be. And he stood at this strategically determining point in his life, and he made a decision. And it was a decision that matters yet today. Now, encompassed in this decision, several things happened. There was a new direction as a result of Moses' decision at the crossroads. And I submit to you this morning that whenever you stand at the forks of a road, a new direction has to be chosen. Moses stood between Egypt and Israel. His choice was to either stay with the Egyptians or go to his people Israel. He had to make that decision. He had to choose between the pleasures of sin and the people of God. And he had to make a choice. And when he made his decision, it meant Midian and Horeb. It meant conflicts with Pharaoh. It meant the Red Sea. It meant the wilderness wanderings. A whole new direction of life opened up before him simply by virtue of that one decision. I'd like to speculate this morning. Suppose he had taken the other fork in the road. Suppose he had decided to stay in Egypt. You say, well, it probably wouldn't have made that much difference. Oh, yes, it would have. For do you suppose for a moment that he would have continued on his merry way? Oh, no. It never happens that way. This is one of those strategic spots in a man's life that when he chooses, he changes the direction of his life. For had Moses said no to the call of the new life, the old life would never have been the same again. There would have been a haunting sense of the will of God rejected. There would have been a haunting sense of people forsaken. His conscience would never have permitted him to forget them. Once you step out of God's will, you never know real peace again. You say, well, the truth is, I kind of know what God wants from me this morning. I pretty well know what kind of claim he has made on my life. But the truth is, my plans and God's plans are close. But they're not identical. I want to compromise just a little bit and do it my way. My direction is almost the same. Isn't a compromise commitment close enough? No, it isn't. It never is. The difference may look slight to you, but in the end, that little difference at the beginning will make a complete change in your life. Years ago, one of our military planes took off from an airfield in the West. Unknown to the crew, the navigational instruments were damaged. With slightly damaged navigational instruments, the navigator charted the course. When the plane dropped down out of the clouds, expecting to make visual contact with the airfield, all they discovered was an endless expanse of the Pacific Ocean. They searched, hoping to find their objective, but they didn't. Instead, they ran out of gas. And that great ship of war plunged into the ocean. Several days later, Eddie Rickenbacker and his crew were picked up out of the ocean. The interesting part is it was only a slight miscalculation at the point of origin by the navigator, because the instrument was damaged, they say. But the slight miscalculation at the beginning of the journey meant that every moment they traveled from that point on, they moved farther off course. So it is with all decisions that matter. Just a shade to the right or the left of God's will, though apparently insignificant at the time, can produce woeful results in the years to come. A friend of mine this morning, I believe that this is very serious business we're talking about on the threshold of this new year. For I discover that there is entirely too much conversation in the realm of God may want me to do this, but surely I can do this just as well. Entirely too much disobedience to the known will of God. It can be a subtle thing. No one intending at the beginning of the journey to get away from God. But day after day, you start to make decisions that you know are not really what God wants you to do, but they seem minor matters at the time, and you continue to do it until this becomes your lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself dropping out of the clouds into the world of reality, a long way from the landing point. Moses stood at the forks of the road, and he chose the right direction. But there was more than a choice of direction in his decision. There was also a choice of value. As he stood at the forks of the road, he saw on the one road Egypt, where he was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, where all the pleasures of sin beckoned, where there was position and wealth and recognition and all of the things that our day finds so appealing. On the other road was Israel, the people of God, the unknown, no wealth. Position, yes, there was position, but position with awesome responsibility. There he was saddled with a grumbling, complaining people. All the weariness of wilderness wanderings. Finally, a lonely death. Here stood Moses with conflicting values on each side of him. What was his decision? He chose God. and his people and all that might mean. I'd ask you this morning, what kind of values do your choices reflect? But Moses' choice resulted in something else. Moses' choice also reflected a new commitment. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. His new commitment began with a great renunciation. He just said no to the seemingly attractive and appealing possessions and possibilities of life in Egypt. A decisive no to the attractions of the past. One writer has said, most great dedications begin in great refusal with the ability of the individual to say no. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He committed himself to the people of God. And friend, try as you may, you can't do both. You can't be identified with the people of God and be called a child of the world as well. It's time we make a fresh renunciation of affinity for the godless things of the world. It's time on the threshold of this new year to make a new commitment to the things of God. Oh, that there might be a holy and attractive glow in our living. Oh, that we might in this new year learn more of the Spirit-filled life. Oh, that we might spend more time in holy living. And in order to do that, we have to have a holy heart. We're going to be talking more about that tonight, but you know, the Word tells us we are not of this world. We're just passing through. And we, while we're passing, must preserve pure living, holy living, Christ-dedicated living, in a sick, sin-filled world. What kind of living characterizes your life? Can you tell what church a man goes to by the way he lives? Does the way you live say anything to anybody? Your church attendance, your interpersonal relations, your business ethics. Nominal churchmanship is characteristic of inadequate commitment. Moses came to the fork in the road and he said no to the world and yes to God. He'd said it before, but he had to say it again, a new commitment. And maybe this is what you and I need this morning. Perhaps our diversity of tasks has diluted our central purpose, keeping our yes to God up to date. 74 is almost over. 75 is before us. And through this year, have you labored in the place of prayer to keep your yes to God up to date? Everything you said yes to at an altar of prayer, everything you have said yes to as the Holy Spirit has led you down this journey called life, have you labored to keep that yes to God up to date this morning? Moses made a decision that mattered. As a result, he embarked on a new direction with new values and a fresh commitment. As a result of these things, his life had a new significance. Had Moses chosen Egypt, he probably would never have known his name. He might have died unknown and forgotten. But when he chose the people of God, he determined the significance of his life. His choice assured him real meaning in life. The choice meant a growing, maturing, and enriching life under God. It resulted in a life honored and respected by the judgments of world history. If men were to name those who across the centuries have affected the course of human history, Moses' name would need to stand high on every list. He became a man known, a man respected, a man studied, a man cherished, a man honored. He became all of this because he made a decision that placed him where God wanted him. When a man stands at the forks of the road and makes the right decision, what enables him to do so? Well, faith. The scripture says, by faith, Moses. He believed God. He trusted God. He could therefore set his eyes on things that were afar off. His faith gave substance to things hoped for and evidence to things not seen. And as a man of faith, he was a man of vision. It is said, he endured has seen him who is invisible. Moses lived his life so that he could see God. His faith gave him the capacity to see God. And at the forks of the road, when the moment of decision came, he was there a man of faith and vision. And a man like that is able to make the right decision. This morning you stand before a new year, a year in which you'll have to make many decisions that matter. What you need is the capacity to choose wisely, the courage to make the choice, and the faith and vision that enable you to live faithfully by that choice. How about you this morning? Would you honestly say your choices are being made in accord with God's plan for your life? Well, if not, they can be. You don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not trying to talk about being at the forks of the road, whether you're saved or not saved. No. Moses was in the position of having to make a great decision as to what direction he was going to go, a new direction. You who are before me this morning have already determined your direction one way or the other. Either you are on the king's highway, or you are on the road to destruction. There is no middle ground. And you must make a decision which road you're going to stay on. Are you going to stay on the king's highway, or are you going to stay on the road that leads to destruction? You know, what we're talking about here this morning is a man who has cast his lot with things of God, who from time to time is called upon to make a decision that matters. A friend of mine this morning, if you do not have faith and vision, if you're not living close to God, you can't possibly make the right decision. It'll matter. The decisions you make will matter every day for the rest of your life. If few years ago, we came here to Olathe and we enjoyed our ministry so much. The Lord blessed, and we were privileged to be called to some other churches in those early years. We never really felt like it was time to go, but finally, what in the religious profession is called a big call came along to a church about three times the size Olathe was. Three times more attending, three times more members, three times more salary. And though we had not been here a long time, we'd been here long enough that God was blessing and everything was in order and going along rather well, and we didn't want to leave, but we thought, because of the significance of the call, that surely God was sending us in a new direction. Prayed as carefully as we knew how. And it all but made the decision to go. Finally, I felt that I had to settle it with spiritual assurance, or I was at the forks of the road. It was on a Thursday night, I remember it like it was last night. On a Thursday night at the altars of the old church over on Lee and Wabash. I knelt there and prayed as fervently, as sincerely as a young man knows to pray, and told God essentially what I've told you this morning. It was a great opportunity. It really looked like we ought to go. But I said, Lord, I have not had that real inner direction that only you can give me. I must give these people an answer. I feel that I must know tonight. I've been praying for several days. I must come to a decision tonight. Please, give me your final seal, for unless I hear otherwise from you, I'm going to go. About that time, the voice that I had been listening to said to me, Paul, you better go. For if you pass this one up, it's likely you'll never be heard from again. I said, thank you, Lord, for I know that's not your voice. I've been listening to the wrong spirit. For you never talk in terms of never being heard from again and big opportunity. All that is important to you is that when a man stands at the forks of the road, he makes the decision you want him to make. And I said, Lord, if I'm never heard from again, that'll just have to be all right. For I believe it's your will for me to stay right here in Olathe. Called the district superintendent, advised him of our decision, tried to encourage us to come ahead, for he knew that it was a wonderful opportunity for a young man. But I'll tell you this morning, I've never been sorry for one day, not for one day, that I didn't take that big call. And some big calls will come your way in this new year of 1975. It may have nothing to do with a church, but it may have everything to do with your future and the future of the kingdom. Let me promise you this. God has a way of taking care of you when you decide in his favor. He took care of Moses. And he'll take care of you. Are you at the forks of the road this morning? If so, hear again of this man Moses, who stood there as well. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Will you stand with me?